The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to another edition of the 9 till noon show. We've reached the midway point of the week. It's Wednesday. It's the 18th of June, 2025. How you all keeping? I really do hope you're doing very well indeed. And you're content around the Northwest or wherever you are listening to us from. Don't forget the lines are open for you. An interesting show. We're going to kick off with a chat with Tony Canavan, the man ultimately at a local level responsible for recommending Sligo or signing off on Sligo as a surgical hub over Letterkenny University Hospital, as it's been phrased. Obviously, he doesn't have the final say. That goes to the Health Minister. We'll also reflect on the meeting between medical professionals and the Health Minister yesterday. So a good chunk of the first hour of the show is going to be dedicated to that. But we've got so much more besides. If you want to get in touch with the show, 07491 25000. That's who you call or how you call. Who you call is Caroline and Katie. If you want to WhatsApp or text, it's 086 60 25000. And emails come into us at comments@highlandradio.com. And of course, you can watch the show. It's a very visual show. The majority of our guests do join us via camera. So if you're at home, working from home, or work in the home, you can watch us on your smart TV or your Fire Stick on the YouTube app, Highland Radio Ireland. Always great if you give us a like and subscribe. It does matter because it helps spread the word. And also we're across Facebook. Did anyone have any issues logging into Facebook this morning? There were some people reporting around here that it wasn't functioning. I'm not sure if it was to do with the Facebook itself or the browser they use. But anyway, some people were reporting that. And also a few people saying that, and I'm not sure if it's the case, and I don't want to do any business as a disservice, but some people have noticed an increase in fuel prices around the place overnight, and they're wondering, is this due to, I suppose, rising raw fuel costs, or is it anything to do with the fact that it's going to be really quite busy around Letterkenny this coming weekend? I'm not sure if you've spotted that or what have you, but anyway, another reason if you don't have one already to get in contact with us. And we do know as well that we have so many loyal listeners in the north, in inverted commas, and further afield as well. Your views and input really important as well. So let me just give you the international dialing code, and in this day and age it's remarkable we still need one, but anyway, 00353 86 60 25000 for your WhatsApps and texts. The Finn Valley Voice this morning: by giving teenagers their own space in the heart of this shared public park, we're creating a more inclusive and balanced community development. That is as a new era dawns for a teen zone in Drumbo Woods Park. They've been pelting through it on their bikes. They've been training in it for athletics. They've been completing school projects in Drumbo Wood for decades, not to mention celebrating their leaving certs under its branches. Now Drumbo Woods, or more accurately, Drumbo Woods Park, is to get its own dedicated teen zone, and the government's stumping up to €50,000 to make sure it happens. Feelings, 086 60 25000. Following off the back of the RTE Investigates programme into the treatment of some people in nursing homes, a nursing home at the centre of a safeguarding controversy had almost 200 notifications alleging abuse of residents over a 3.5 year period, said a report from a health watchdog. So how could 200 notifications alleging abuse of residents over a 3.5 year period get... In other words, it actually then took an investigative programme for action to be taken. Is that an unfair framing of the situation? Minister for State for Older People, Kieran O'Donnell, last night published the Health Information and Quality Authority interim report on regulatory oversight of two nursing homes, the residents in Port Leash and the Benavon Manor in Dublin, which are run by Emmis Ireland. They have two up here as well. The report was requested following the airing of an RTE Investigations programme which made allegations of elder abuse and neglect. So what were HICWA doing with these 200 notifications? And then why all of a sudden did it take an RTE programme for everyone to say, right, we need to look at this? And then why would it be HICWA that would be looking at it? They've been looking at it seemingly for 3.5 years. There's more to that story and lots of questions that I really would like to ask in relation to that. Students that are going to get no break with the rent pressure zones, it seems. Students in private rental accommodation will not have additional protection under the new rental market rules, Housing Minister James Brown said, as legislation is set to be rushed through the door this week to bring all current tenancies into a rent pressure zone. Concerns have been raised about the new rent rules that are due to come into effect next March. So in terms of students, you know, you've probably got students in your family. Where are they? Dublin, Galway, elsewhere? You know, someone said to me, I found a place in Galway, €500 a month. I'm really lucky. They thought that was good. I know people are paying 600 quid for their mortgage, and you've got a, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old or someone working, they're in a box room and happy to pay 500 plus bills. There's something seriously wrong if that's been set as good value in our minds. Donald Trump was last night poised to join Israel's attack on Iran as he demanded Tehran's unconditional surrender. Remember, he promised no wars, low inflation, cheap food, bring everyone back home. It seems to be every promise he's made is now sort of wobbling a little bit, so he's going to drag the US into another war. The US president also boasted that his country could assassinate Iran's supreme leader. He said he's an easy target. They know where he is. He's safe for now. It's really high-level, heavy-pressure diplomacy, if you could call it that. We'll see how that pans out. The government has been spending $148.2 million. The government is set to purchase the City West Hotel and Convention Centre for $148.2 million. The Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, said it would be far cheaper to own the facility in West Dublin instead of paying private providers for the services and rooms. It will be used as a screening centre where applications for asylum will be processed. $148.2 million. Seems like a big amount of money, but maybe in the long run it would be better value. I don't know. Did you win $250 million? Come on, give me the exclusive if you're in the Northwest. I'm not sure I'd want to win it. I suppose everyone's having these combos. What would you do? Well, one person in Ireland has officially become the biggest Euro Millions winner the country has ever seen. Well, they don't know that because it could be it's an unfortunate phrase because it could be quite easily a syndicate. So one person, let me say, or a syndicate in Ireland has officially become the biggest Euro Millions winner the country has ever seen, scooping a jaw-dropping $250 million jackpot in last night's record-breaking draw. If it was you, go on, give me the exclusive. If it wasn't, what would you do with that money? Honestly, what would you do? Give me the three things you'd do to 086 60 25,000. Tony Canavan is going to be joining me very shortly.
The 9 till noon show is brought to you by Letterkenny Credit Union, with monster loans available up to €60,000 for all occasions. Visit letterkennycu.ie.
Daily newspapers are courtesy of Cosgrove Centra and Diner, Mountaintop, Letterkenny.
Need rapid care for a minor injury or fracture? Why wait when you can be seen today at Kingsbridge Northwest Minor Injuries and Fracture Clinic? See a GP with A&E experience and avail of further scans and surgery with highly trained nurses, radiologists and orthopaedic surgeons on site. Available Monday through to Saturday in Ballykelly for Leia insured and self-paying patients. Visit kingsbridgegpclinic.com today for further information.
Sometimes you have to simply enhance what you have. Like the new Opel Mokka. With a new infotainment system, dash, and interior, it's had a little work done. After all, it's what's on the inside that counts. As for the outside, why mess with perfection? The new Opel Mokka. It's a head-turner. Available in petrol, hybrid, and electric. Find out more at Manor Motors Opel. See manormotors.ie for details.
Print Supplies and Frosses delivers managed print solutions that save you time and money. With remote servicing and local support, we take the hassle out of printers and photocopiers. Stay efficient. Stay supplied. Email sales at printsupplies.ie today. Print smart. Save money. Trust local.
Hegarty's Home Interiors, Bunkrana, the biggest direct importer of sofas, beds, mattresses and flooring in the Northwest. Best in stock deals on selected sofas and corner sofas. Best in stock deals on gas lift beds. Best in stock on mattresses. Best in stock deals on laminate flooring, semi-solid flooring and carpets. Full fitting service on carpets and wood flooring. With a free delivery service throughout the Northwest, including all of Northern Ireland. Hegarty's Home Interiors, Bunkrana. Always lower prices.
Highland Radio Time Checks brought to you by Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. Airgrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is?
It is 9:14. We're joined on the programme now by Tony Canavan, Regional Executive Officer with the HSE West and North West. Good morning, Tony. Thank you for making yourself available to answer our questions, but I presume it's also an opportunity for you, as you might feel that in some instances, and we'll tease that out, I suppose, that the you might need to set the record straight from your perspective. Is that how you see it?
Morning, Greg. I'm quite happy to answer any questions, and hopefully at the end of it that there'll be clarity about what exactly is proposed in terms of the surgical hub for the Northwest, and what exactly our commitments and our ambitions are for Letterkenny University Hospital in that context as well.
Brilliant stuff. The big question is... Firstly, did you receive a business case from Letterkenny University Hospital, a formal business case as you did from Sligo?
No, is the short answer to that. So the process relating to the surgical hubs goes back a number of years. Actually, at this stage, it was being strongly promoted by the previous Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. Something that he had seen in the UK and something that he had seen working well in Dublin, particularly in Tallaght, and he felt it would be a good solution to the difficulties that we were seeing in terms of scheduled care and waiting lists at that time. So. The aim was to develop a number of surgical hubs around the country, to do it quickly, to get them up and running, and for them to focus only on a limited range of surgical procedures. And those were the ones that, contributed most numbers to the waiting list overall. So that was the original process. It was only around Model 4 hospitals. We've only got one Model 4 hospital in the region, that's in Galway. And so the prospect of having one in the Northwest wasn't really there for us at the very start.
But then it did come onto the agenda. So I'm just curious as to, were hospitals invited? Was Letterkenny University Hospital invited to submit a business plan, or did local management choose not to? You must understand some of my questions are coming from a position of ignorance, Tony. So I'm not fully au fait with the process, but I would be curious as to an answer to that question.
Yeah, no, there's no problem with any of your questions, to be honest with you, Greg, on this one. The short answer is no. The process didn't involve us requesting a submission from the local manager of any of our individual Model 3 hospitals. And as I say, the initial ask was only for sites associated with Model 4.
So how did it come to be that a process was begun and it was Sligo that submitted the business plan?
Yeah, we felt very strongly that the West and Northwest region, and bear in mind this was when we were just dealing as a hospital group, but we felt that the region itself, it's very, very long north to south with a very dispersed population, and locating a surgical hub, one in the region at the very southern end of it, would leave a significant gap in terms of access. And so we were promoting the idea of a surgical hub for the Northwest to try and meet that population need. And that's where that discussion started. We did make an initial ask for a surgical hub for the Northwest to be located in Sligo probably about 2 years ago, and the timelines again, I'd have to check them, but it certainly goes back some time, and that didn't progress. It wasn't approved in the first tranche of approvals, and we were subsequently asked to refresh that business case earlier this year.
Who asked?
Department of Health. Okay. The development of a surgical hub for the Northwest is on the programme for government. So on the back of that, the Department of Health asked us to refresh our proposal in respect of a surgical hub for the Northwest.
Right. So really, Letterkenny University Hospital, in a formal sense, was never at the races.
To be fair to people in Letterkenny University Hospital, they weren't asked to make a submission, you know, so in that context, no.
Okay. And do you think that was the right approach?
You see, it's very easy in hindsight to kind of say, well, we could have, should have, or whatever might have done this, that, or the other. I think it's really important to remember the context. The surgical hubs were seen as something that could be delivered quickly and would be targeted at a limited number of specialties. So trying to find, those types of solutions in that context, you know, I think we did everything we could. I think.
But you talked about hindsight, Tony, but you were meeting with public representatives before you had actually signed off on Sligo. So there was foresight as well. This conversation became very, very live before a final decision was made. So it wasn't only hindsight that was there. And just quite interestingly, and maybe you can clarify the timeline on it. My understanding is that you met with TDs a number of weeks back and you gave a commitment to those elected representatives that the decision would be reviewed and that you would meet them again a couple of weeks later. And in the interim, it appears that Sligo was formally signed off on, much to the angst of at least some of those TDs. Is that how things unfolded, and if so, why?
No, so it's accurate in some respects, but not in some critical respects, Greg. So I think if we were to go back over the course of the last few months, since January, since we were asked to refresh the business case for the Northwest, I think the first time I was asked in public about the location or the proposed location for a surgical hub was at a regional health forum meeting. And my answer was very clear that we were refreshing the business case. The proposal included a site that was based in Sligo. That was the answer that I gave at the time, and that was probably back in February or March. You're quite right in saying that I met with public representatives from Donegal, including Oireachtas members, Regional Health Forum members, about 3 weeks ago. And at that meeting, I outlined for them, again, the position that we had prepared a proposal, just as I've described to yourself, a refreshed proposal. And again, that the proposal contained a proposed site in Sligo. I did undertake at that meeting that I would include with that proposal, when it was being sent to the department, a letter which highlighted very clearly the surgical needs in Letterkenny University Hospital and the broader infrastructural requirements for the hospital as well. That was the commitment that I gave them at that meeting. And I subsequently met with them again yesterday, and we've had further discussions.
So when Minister McConnell Logue said that you had committed to review the decision, he wasn't speaking accurately in relation to that?
So Minister McConnell is well capable of speaking for himself. I can only just be very clear about the commitment that I gave at the meeting and that I repeated again yesterday and the actions that I've taken since.
Who then, whose decision was it that Sligo would be the best location? Was it yours personally? Who was advocating Sligo as the solution to meeting the commitments of government in the programme for government? Was it the government? Was it yourself? Was it somebody else?
Yeah, so I think it's again, it's important to understand the this in a context. And apologies now, Greg, if this seems like a long answer to what should be a short question.
It's fine.
But first of all, we've been looking at the elective surgical requirements of the whole region, and we've been looking at them in a number of ways. So we're planning the development of an elective hospital, which will be based in Galway, but serving the needs of the whole region, and indeed for people outside of the region as well. And that planning is at an advanced stage, it's progressing reasonably well. We also were developing a surgical hub, which is located in Galway, and that's halfway to being built at this stage and has progressed well. But in that process, we were also very aware, I suppose, or we became very aware of the importance of elective surgery in our Model 3 hospital sites in order to be able to protect emergency surgery on those sites. And so we took some decisions that were specifically designed to continue to support that surgical activity. Letterkenny is a Model 3 site. Sligo is a Model 3 site. Mayo and Portchunk are both Model 3 sites. But the importance of elective and therefore emergency surgical activity on those sites became really important in that process. So we've taken steps to try and ensure that that's reflected in the decisions we've taken. To answer your question directly then, in terms of putting forward the proposal, at the end of the day, sign off on the proposal was with myself. There are lots of people that would have been advocating for Sligo location, for sure. There's no question about that. And indeed, there are lots of people that are advocating now for a Letterkenny location as well. At other stages, consideration would have been given to the possibility of having surgical hub in places like Portchunkla or in places like Mayo as well. So all of these things were considered. But at the end of the day, when a proposal goes forward from the West, Northwest region, it goes forward under my name. And that's what happened in this case.
Did you say that the decision was made because of population?
Yeah, so there's a number of factors. And again, it's really important that we remember where we're at. So a proposal has gone forward and the proposal went forward under my name. And the the inclusion of Sligo as a site was based on three factors. The first one is population based, you know, so choosing a site that's located in a way that is reasonably accessible to as many people as possible. And for the Northwest, a Sligo location does fit that bill. Now, a similar argument could be made in that regard for Letterkenny, and it might be a slightly different argument, but it could be made, and I certainly acknowledge that for sure. The second thing is that that the
Are you saying that the initial consideration based solely on population is somewhat flawed? Because by every metric I look at, really, you know, Sligo doesn't add up in terms of population. There's nothing wrong with people from Sligo coming to Donegal, for an example. That's perfectly accessible. And there are other criteria which you would have looked at in terms of its location. You would also know that Donegal, for an example, is the most deprived location. It also is the furthest away, which also is contained within sort of the criteria for a surgical hub. It's also further away under the RCSI surgical hub guidelines. So by any metric I've seen, Donegal would have been the obvious choice over Sligo, even on the grounds that you were considering it.
So just to be complete on the grounds that we were considering. So there were three criteria that I think were relevant. The first one is the population base. You know, so it does need to be located in somewhere in a place that's reasonably accessible to the greatest number of people. I think people understand that. That argument can be made in respect of Sligo for sure. There's no question about that. But a similar argument, not the same, but a similar argument could also be made in respect of Letterkenny. And I'm not for 1 minute arguing about that. The second criterion, again, is that we had to locate the surgical hub adjacent or close to a hospital, a general hospital. And the reason for that is in case a patient goes off or has an incident in the surgical hub, they must be able to be transferred quickly to an emergency department. And so again, either Letterkenny or Sligo would have met that requirement. But the third one is critical, and it was that the surgical hubs provide a limited number of services. A surgical hub operates on the basis that if I'm going in for a procedure, I walk in this morning and I walk out at some stage during the day. There's no overnight stay. These are minor surgical procedures where people are dealt with on a day basis. So it is limited in the range of surgical specialties that it can facilitate. And the predominance of those surgical specialties is actually in Sligo when we look across the two hospitals of Letterkenny. They include ophthalmology and dermatology. They include ENT. They also include orthopedics. So some of them are common to both, but far more of them are present in Sligo than in Letterkenny.
This is, again, now feels like a double flow from Donegal, because a lot of the names that you'll find in those lists that you talk of in Sligo, their addresses are in Donegal. So the fact that we're already travelling to Sligo has been used against us again in the argument for the location of a surgical hub. Like, did you consider the impact? And it's interesting that, because the health minister also, to some extent, played down, what goes on in a surgical hub. And that sounds like I'm being critical. I'm not. But, you know, did you also consider the impact that this would have in terms of recruitment into Letterkenny? As you would know, things are very probably problematic at a moment. There's no theatre infrastructure, no surgeons recruited. There's a fear of a downgrading of the hospital. No emergency department, no emergency service. There is concerns that that could happen down the line and that this could have a negative impact on the lives of people in Donegal. So when you're factoring in, can you not also factor in into the future? Is that not part of your remit to look at, say, right, I could make this decision now, and you've already stated on two of the three arguments, Letterkenny holds its own against Sligo. Surely you should be factoring in, as someone who's looking towards the future of our hospital service and the well-being of Donegal people and the future of Letterkenny University Hospital Services, that should have weighed very heavily in your decision-making process. How are we going to recruit? How are we going to get staff past Sligo to Letterkenny when it has all these bells and whistles?
Yeah. So again, what I would say is, you're absolutely right. And it goes back to what I was saying about our approach to planning at a regional level for elective activity on all of our sites, and particularly our Model 3 hospital sites, because they are providing emergency services to significant portions of our populations in their own right. So they have to be supported in the delivery of that care. Letterkenny is in a very, very important location relative to the population it's serving. The people that use Letterkenny University University Hospital really don't have any other choice in terms of the hospital that they access. So we are absolutely aware of the need to support Letterkenny University Hospital into the future in doing what it's doing currently.
Why not the surgical hub though? Why not the surgical hub? You are familiar with the staffing imbalance in terms of locums and those that are there long term and the impact that can have and how difficult it is to get people up here in the first instances. The surgical hub could have alleviated an awful lot of that. And even in the midst of this decision, you would have got a letter from close on 100 doctors and GPs last year making these very arguments. You had this information whilst you still were considering where to locate it, and it doesn't seem that you factored it in.
Yeah, so don't get me wrong on this, Craig. I'm aware for the longest time about the need for us to support our Model 3 hospitals, and it, and particularly Letterkenny, because of the location and because of the population that it's serving. So there is no lack of awareness on my part about that requirement. I would also say that many of the decisions that we have taken, many of them have been geared towards supporting delivery of surgical care, including very recent decisions about approval for additional consultants and so on to deliver the care there. I think fundamentally we have to look at our hospitals in the context of the services they are delivering. Letterkenny University Hospital is a satellite cancer centre. It is providing services that other hospitals aren't, and that's important that we continue to support that. It's my opinion, and it's just my opinion, that the best way for us to do that is to develop surgical services on the site through the Ambulatory Cancer Centre, to develop the additional beds that are required, and to develop minor injuries.
Just on that, and I know you want to go on, give me your best, most realistic timeline for the delivery of an ambulatory centre.
So if I was being honest with you, I couldn't give you a timeline either for the delivery of the ambulatory centre or indeed the surgical hub in Sligo, Greg. All of that is down to decision-making at the department.
Okay, so let's park the surgical hub then. Give me your best estimate, considering now at this point it is not much more than an idea. Realistically, when might we expect an ambulatory centre in Letterkenny?
Well, if we take the surgical hub, first of all, a proposal has been prepared and we've discussed the proposal. That will go to the department, and I've absolutely no doubt the department will want to tease that through in every single aspect with us and to discuss all of the decision making around that proposal to ensure that whatever we arrive at is the correct location, correct format, correct setup, correct solution for the Northwest. So that's where the surgical hub is at. That for me is a number of steps back from a decision about funding and then progression on to 10
years. So we could be talking 7 to 10 years.
Well, I don't even want to put an estimate on,
but my point is, as you see, the ambulatory care conversations come in here very quickly, right? We were promised 2 endoscopy builds in 2013, 2.3 million never happened. An extension of hemodialysis unit 2015 never happened. Vascular access team never happened. ICU rebuild 1 million 2018 never happened. Acute surgical assessment unit 2014 never happened. Donegal Clinical Research Academy 3 million 2010 never happened. Rapid access prostate clinic never happened. Third tier of an on-call anaesthetist never happened. Surgery for screen detected bowel cancer 2017 never happened. PEDS emergency department section never, like that. I'm about a third way through the list, so you might understand why this talk of an ambulatory centre for us at this stage, we would not be too interested in. Urology ambulatory unit, that was already promised, never happened.
And sorry to interrupt you, Greg.
No, it's fine. I'm not going to go on.
No, but I do understand. I understand why people would be less than enamoured by the idea of a promise of an ambulatory cancer centre, or indeed a promise of additional beds, or an MIU, or indeed the completion of the development control plan for the site. I understand that. I think what I need to be clear with everybody is, what are the key services that we think are important for Letterkenny University Hospital that we're advocating for, and that's what I'm doing.
Okay, but I also, and I,
advocate for the delivery of those as quickly as possible.
And I respect that. But also, too, I have to respect the views of 171 doctors, those that are working in the hospital, those that are warning of the collapse of maternity, those that are warning of the ED being no longer functioning. I have a quote here in front of me that was sent up. I'll get to it in a moment, that they were talking about the imminent collapse of services over the next 3 or 5 years. Let me see, here it is. This was a letter from the LUH clinical director to John Hennessy. Surgical services in Letterkenny are unsustainable and will fail catastrophically within 3 to 5 years if affirmative action is not taken. The failure mechanism will consist of inability to recruit NCHDs and consultants of a standard consistent with high quality care. Tony, with respect, you have all of this information.
I might ask you to read the date on that letter. It was 2010. And of course, the surgical services haven't collapsed since 2010.
But we're back again with the same warnings.
The reason they haven't collapsed is because we have taken decisions as we've progressed over the years to continue to support it. And the reason we do that is because it needs to be supported. People in Donegal need to have an active, a functioning elective and emergency surgical service. And we've taken those decisions to help continue with that service. But we need to continue to do that. We need to continue to invest in surgical services and in services more generally across the hospital.
Now, okay, just in terms of funding.
To be fair to your own listeners, there is just no basis to say that there's an imminent threat of collapse to any of the services in Letterkenny. That's just not accurate. Least of all, your maternity services that you've just referred to, because the maternity services, as we know, certainly went through a difficult patch over a number of years, but the people working within the hospital, the clinicians, staff, management within the hospital have worked extremely hard to bring that service back up to a standard where it is comparable to anything across the country, both in terms of maternity and gynae services. Okay. And that's to their great credit. Now, it also was backed up with investment from the HSE and from the Seth Group and through the Seth Group, but actually the real improvement came from within the hospital. So the maternity services are in a really good state and are in the hands of really good people at the moment. And similarly, I would say about the emergency department.
You mentioned funding. Well, the emergency department consultants that work in there talked of stepping over people like it was a war zone, Tony.
Yeah.
People are experiencing, older people are experiencing 24 hour waits. You're not going to tell me that that's functioning correctly, are you?
No, but what I am going to say to you is that that this morning there are 9 patients awaiting admission on trolleys in Letterkenny University.
Well, that's the exception to the rule.
Yep, and for each of those 9 people, that's not a good place to be. So, I always start off this conversation with that, acknowledging that that is not correct and that's not what we want. So that said, when I look back at this winter, Letterkenny University Hospital, and again, it's a credit to the staff in Letterkenny University Hospital. Letterkenny University Hospital has done well. It has performed well in terms of its process flows within the hospitals. It has reduced the numbers of patients awaiting admission at 8 a.m. It is very, very significant.
Okay, so but older people, that's fine, but that all has an impact on other services in the hospital. Day cases cancellations. I mean, there's blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks of days where no surgery is done at all. So every action has a reaction. We've got people. 24th of the 4th, there was Dr. Bodner was unable to work. 10th of the 4th, unable to work. The only one day in 2025 where a full list was performed was the 27th of March, 25th of March, 18th of March, 13th of March, half of the list. And on it goes. Like, there's loads of days here where nothing is done.
So you can't tell me
that the ED is functioning well when it's having that knock-on impact in other areas.
That's not what I'm saying. The point I'm making is that the emergency department and the staff working at in Letterkenny University Hospital have worked extremely hard over the course of the last winter, but well beyond that as well, to ensure that they provide as good.
So what are you doing to fix that?
In the context of an extremely busy Model 3 hospital with very high numbers of attendances and increasing numbers of attendances, they've done better than most other Model 3 hospitals throughout the country. That's the point I'm making. And we've got lots and lots of room to improve within Letterkenny Hospital.
How are you going to deliver cancellation of services,
we do need additional capacity. That's why I'm saying we need additional capacity in Letterkenny Hospital, but it has to be the right capacity in order to meet Dr. Bodner's requirements, for example, because you quoted Dr. Bodner. It has to be the right type of capacity.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, one of the what I mean by that is, well, first of all, Letterkenny University Hospital, as I said earlier on, has a particular function as a satellite cancer centre. Mm-hmm. We have to have surgical services that are available and of a scale and of an appropriate configuration to be able to deliver those cancer services. And also,
and that's done surgery. Through, do you believe, through the ambulatory centre?
No.
So that's what I'm asking you to explain.
That would be done through the ambulatory centre, but sure, it would not be done in a surgical hall.
Yeah, but we can't wait for that. We can't wait for that.
Well, but what's the alternative?
You revise your decision and you suggest that the surgical hub would be in Letterkenny University Hospital.
But surgical hubs, and this goes back to the point...
No, but it's also about recruitment, though. It's about recruitment as well into the hospital.
No, if you ask me about cancer surgery is not and will not be conducted in surgical hubs.
I do understand that, but it's not just in the area of cancer, okay? We're talking in the wider scale of things. So, for instance, non-cancer surgeries, right? Compare, for instance, if you don't mind, cancellations of daycare cases in Sligo versus Donegal.
Yeah, so again, I don't have the exact figures.
But I think you know where I'm going with that.
That the level of cancellation in Donegal is higher than it would be in Sligo. And I think that's probably true for this last 12 months and probably for longer than that as well.
Right, okay. So you don't believe that the... And by the way, you talked about surgical hubs and ones only... There's a commitment in the programme for government that has driven you to go through this process to recommend Sligo. So it's obviously there is obviously a bit of a momentum. So I don't think it's very fair to sort of compare the potential delivery of a surgical hub and timelining that when it's committed to by government and the health minister with the ambulatory care centre, which is hasn't even begun that process to, I think we could realistically expect the surgical hub before we might an ambulatory care centre. Is that fair to say?
So my answer to that is kind of yes and no. So I think it's a fair point, and it's one that was made very, very strongly to me in the first meeting that I had with public representatives a few weeks ago from County Donegal. And their concern was that that even if they were to accept that the investment in Letterkenny University Hospital was more appropriate to an ambulatory cancer centre than a surgical hub, even if they were to accept that, it needs to be done at the same time. In other words, there should be investment in the capital requirements on both sites at the same time. I think that's an important point, and it's one that I've been making in our proposal to the department as well. When I'm proposing the development of a surgical hub for the Northwest, I'll be saying that we also need to ensure that we are developing the infrastructure on both sites so we don't create a gradient.
But what might make us feel that you're going to develop anything in Letterkenny? Like, we've actually fallen behind Sligo now in terms of funding from the HSC. So we're going backwards, arguably, rather than even going forwards.
I don't accept that Letterkenny is going backwards. What I see is that the standard of care in Letterkenny over the last 5 years has improved considerably across a number of specialties. It has been driven from within the hospital, but supported from outside of the hospital in order to achieve that. I can see the investment at Letterkenny Hospital has increased year on year, every single year for the last number of years. I think we can compare with other hospitals and so on, and people can argue whether that's fair or not. But one thing that is objectively true is that the amount of investment in Letterkenny has increased every single year. Number staff working in the hospital has increased over the last 5 years quite significantly, and so it should. The needs of the hospital are significant. The needs of the population in Donegal are
significant. Yes, but you are quite right in saying it, but I have to drill into these figures a little bit. If you look at Galway, Sligo, Letterkenny, Mayo and so on, the Model 3s effectively, we're only behind RUH in terms of an increase in investment over the last 5 years, which you've just referenced, okay? But it's from different bases as well. Sligo University Hospital, with less patients than us, is still receiving more money than Letterkenny University Hospital. There's been very little improvement in the spend per patient. In Sligo, for an example, 11,300,000 euro is the cost per 1,000 patients. In Letterkenny, it's 6,900. So you're not going to sell me the top line figure and not talk about the actual real figure in terms of investment per patient and service delivery.
No, I'm not going to argue those figures with you because
they're true. You they're can't. Probably, yeah, they're spot on.
Because I think they're probably accurate. That said, I do think it's important that when we look at figures, that we look at you know, the investment in all of the health services in the within the country. So, for example, you know, health service isn't just delivered.
Yeah, but now you see, but then you're doing that in Sligo, you're doing that in Mayo, you're doing that in Galway. So again, sorry, I'm not going to be deflected from the fact that 11,300,000 is spent per 1,000 patients in Sligo. It's 6,900,000 in Letterkenny. Can you justify the discrepancy there? I'm sure we're investing in all sorts of initiatives in the community in Sligo, and I know we're getting a lovely new hospital here just above Letterkenny. Don't get me wrong. I know there's a lot going right, but I just want you to justify how there is the discrepancy in spend per patient between Sligo and Letterkenny, and that's rewarded with a surgical hub that 171 professionals think is critical to Letterkenny to retain what we have here at the moment. So just explain how that's justifiable.
Yeah. So, and again, just to say to you, Greg, I'm not trying to deflect you off anything. So I'm saying that I agree that your figures that you've given are probably accurate. When you compare one hospital with another, you come up with these types of figures. I am also saying for sure, and it is objectively true, that we've increased the spend at Letterkenny University Hospital year on year for the last 5 years.
59% over 5 years. I am not disputing that at all. It's the second highest.
But I'm
still talking about it's from a different base. So you might say, and the minister said this herself, that is fine. But in terms of the care of patients in this county versus the next, I have to make the comparison of spend per patient. And it's considerably lower in Letterkenny. So why is it so lower in Letterkenny compared to Sligo? It's an incredibly simple question, I hope to answer in for you, Tony.
It may seem like an incredibly simple question, but the answer is not incredibly simple. The cost base of any individual hospital is made up of whatever spend is coded into that hospital, and it relates to the services that are provided at that time. It does relate to the amount of staff, principally because 80% of all of our costs are staff related, and 20% of it relates to then the consumables and the other things that are required to deliver care. So I have no difficulty, and I'm not arguing with you.
No, of course you're not.
Difference between the per capita spend in Sligo University Hospital based on the figures that you've given. And I'm also not arguing with you that additional investment is required in Letterkenny, and we were continuing to do our best to get that money and to invest it appropriately.
The assessment from the medical professionals is that there is an imminent risk of collapse at Letterkenny University Hospital. Cancellations and delays, 169 theatre cancellations in 2024. They say it's now affecting emergency surgery with 116 recovery block January, March 2025. No beds, they're saying. Simply no beds.
So I think it's a really important message for people that are listening, for your listeners to hear, that I do not accept that Letterkenny University Hospital is at imminent risk of collapse. I do not accept that in respect of any of the services at Letterkenny University Hospital. And my experience has been that the services have continued to improve over the last number of years, and there's still work to be done. There's no question about that at all.
Okay, but how can we have faith, Tony? How can we have faith in you and your leadership to deliver what you're talking of potentially delivering for Letterkenny, like say for instance this ambulatory centre? How can we have any faith in the local management, your management, given the history here, given where there are starting block? What is, give me one grain of hope as to why, you know, I'm not saying people aren't doing their best, all right, but I've pointed out discrepancies, and I've just used Sligo, but I could do the same with Mayo and others. How can we have faith in you or local management for that matter to deliver, given the fact that there's been, and I've listed, a failure to deliver in the past?
Yeah, so I suppose I'm not talking to you this morning, Greg, in the hope of generating people's faith in me or in my leadership on this one, but I am.
Should you not be?
Well, what I would say to you is this, that that it's very easy to be selective in terms of what hasn't been delivered and to forget the, you know, what has been.
No,
delivered.
I know that, Tony, but listen,
you have to let me answer.
Okay, go ahead, Tony, I respect. Go ahead, sorry.
So if what I would say, and I would strongly advocate for people to have faith in their local management of the hospital and the people that are delivering on care every single day at Letterkenny University Hospital. And I think, to be fair, I think people in Donegal know that, inherently they know that the people that are working inside that hospital go above and beyond every single day to provide the best possible care that they can. I think they know that. And I think that goes from the person that they meet as they come in the door right up to the hospital manager, to the director of nursing, and everybody that works in that hospital, they are doing their best for people in Donegal. And I think people also have a sense that things have improved significantly at Letterkenny University Hospital over the last 5 to 10 years, with room to improve, of course, still. But I think people know that they've seen improvements. They've seen it in their gynae services. They've seen it in their maternity services. They've seen it in the emergency department. They've seen it in their medical services.
So talk to me about the... Because we want to focus on the positive.
And talk to me about the cancer services.
Yes, well, okay. But you would be familiar with the fact that the treatment delivery down there is being hindered by simply a lack of space. You know, delays in moving bits around in the hospital. People have been waiting for years. Why is that? Why is it taking so long to make space for more people to sit in chairs?
So as I said, there is room for improvement, and part of that improvement has to come with additional capacity, and that goes back to the priorities that I was listing earlier on for capital investment at the hospital. We do need more space to be able to deliver chemotherapy and other cancer treatments at Letterkenny University Hospital effectively. And I would say that I think the other reason that I would say people should have faith in their local hospital and in the management and everybody working in that hospital is that the demands on that hospital have increased every single year consistently, no matter what way you measure them, whether it's attendances at the emergency department or admissions to the hospital, discharge of patients from the hospital, activity in the hospital has increased. And yet the team at Letterkenny University Hospital continue to deliver. And of course, there is room for improvement.
Okay, so is it the case that that you're saying, or we should accept, that certain services are being centralised? Obviously, we're already travelling for ENT, ophthalmology, I beg your pardon, now we're talking about having a surgical hub there, which will probably be directed to in Sligo. Like, you know, we're a satellite of Galway in terms of cancer services in so many of these other areas that I've referenced there. Are we effectively a satellite of Sligo as well? Not the hospital itself, but us. You know what I mean? We are. There's more and more reasons as to why we might have to travel to Sligo. Is that part of the plan?
No, it's a complicated question, and I'll answer it in this way. Absolutely, Letterkenny University Hospital is a satellite for cancer services from Galway, and that is part of policy and part of the plan, and we'll continue to support that approach as we go forward. So that is absolutely true. I think what we've seen over the last few years is that while in the past there were efforts to try and have outreach services from Sligo up to Letterkenny Hospital, it was difficult to sustain those. They didn't work in many respects, and it was difficult to keep them functioning over the long term. So in a number of key specialties within Letterkenny University Hospital, the best approach is to resource those services locally and to resource them in a way that they can meet the needs of the population in a sustained way over time. And so we will be focusing on those. And there are a number of our medical services, including three chronic disease specialties that we would hope to invest in at the hospital. On its own right. I do not see, and it's not appropriate to view Letterkenny as a satellite of Sligo University Hospital. That's not the correct description.
Right.
I certainly do see that all of our hospitals, including Letterkenny and Sligo, need to function together. And that means, you know, they'll cooperate on some services and others others they'll provide it.
So would you concede that Letterkenny University Hospital is the larger, busier and more isolated site, and that on many, many, many of the criteria that actually really the very logical decision was to locate this surgical hub in Letterkenny, if you confirm, in other words, is there any appetite from you to review this decision with the massive weight of five elected representatives, seven if you include Oireachtas, some appointed, 171 doctors? They're all saying Letterkenny University Hospital must get this surgical hub, and they're not going to let it go. Are you prepared, with everything we've discussed to now, and not off the back of this conversation, don't get me wrong, to actually review this decision and look objectively and say, by 9 out of 10 metrics, it has to be Letterkenny University Hospital? Or are you going to say, no, a surgical hub is not enough, hold your horses for the ambulatory centre?
So it will always be my position that I advocate for each of our hospitals for what we believe is the best fit for those hospitals. And I've outlined what I consider to be the best fit for Letterkenny University Hospital. But in terms of, if we look just at the surgical hub issue, we have prepared a proposal, and I've been very clear and transparent in relation to my role and what I have suggested is the appropriate location for that.
And you're sticking to that?
In that proposal.
You're sticking to that?
Well, the starting point for any proposal has to be that, you know, that the region has to say, say this is where we think it is the best located, and have a reasonable basis for that. But one thing I would say, Greg, is that it's important to remember this is a proposal that has gone forward to the department. I am certain the department will tease out every single.
If you could go through this process again, do you believe you'd come up with a different outcome?
Highly unlikely that we would, unless circumstances.
But that's really, really
like
quite troubling because.
In terms of preparing a proposal, I've no doubt the department will want to work this proposal through in every aspect and question every aspect of it with us.
But you stand
that's
over
fine.
It.
I'm more than happy to work that through with the department. And if we arrive at differences in terms of the final decision, that's within the department's control. And that's my job is to put forward a proposal based on reasonable criteria. Okay. I believe I've done that, but I'm also prepared to work hard with the department to make sure that whatever solution we arrive at is the right solution.
Yeah, but you also stated, and I'll let you go shortly, you did also state that there's very strong arguments for Letterkenny University Hospital. I'm just very, very curious as what the tipping point is for Sligo. If you remove ambulatory centre out of it, right, and we're talking solely about the surgical hub, you maintain that Sligo's the best place for that?
If the only development on the cards was a surgical hub, if that was the only one that was on the cards, I would be saying that our proposal would still contain Sligo. And the reason is because there were three key criteria considered. The first one was the population one that we've discussed. And you're quite right, a slightly different but similar argument could be made in respect of Letterkenny for that.
Well, I'm looking at can you give me the population argument then? What is the criteria you're using?
That you would try and locate the surgical hub in a place that's as convenient as it can be for as many people as possible.
Like who? So we would have all of Donegal. Sligo could come up here. Roscommon, Mayo people might be inclined to go to Galway. I still don't understand how you make the population work that Sligo's a better location than Letterkenny.
What I've said, Greg, is that actually an argument could be made for either Sligo or Letterkenny in respect of population, that there's a similar argument that could be made for either. Okay. And also the second criterion is that it must be located next to a hospital. Again,
we have that.
Be located. But the third one is critical. That there are a limited number of specialties that are appropriate to a surgical hub. Most of those specialties are delivered out of Sligo. A small number of them are delivered out of Letterkenny.
Yeah, but that's because of the way you've set it up.
Well, I'm not sure that it is because of the way that I set it up.
I'm saying that in very broad terms. Oh, listen, I must let you go. Who makes the final decision on this?
Yeah, it's important.
The final decision.
The department makes the final decision on whether or not the surgical hub progresses at all. And so
they send it back and you say, actually, we want Letterkenny. Do you go back to them and say, no, I'm standing over Sligo?
That's not how it works. We engage with we put forward proposals, and this is normal business with the department. We put forward proposals. We try and have a rational basis for the proposal. I believe I've done that, and we engage with them then on all of the arguments back and forth, and all the discussion about, and the decisions back and forth about various aspects of the proposal, and then a decision is arrived.
And do you believe the 171 consultants, doctors, etc. Do you believe that their logic's flawed in this regard, that they're misleading the public?
So I suppose, I don't. I don't believe for one second they're misleading the public at all. And I certainly don't question in any sense their commitment to the public that they're serving day in, day out. And indeed, in this particular issue as well, they are making the strongest possible argument that they can for the people that they're looking after. So I don't have any difficulty with that. But my job is to look at the criteria that are and make a decision on the proposal and send that proposal to the department and then be open to the debate and the discussion with the department, which is exactly what I will do.
Tony Canavan, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.